This is Doctors on Air with Dr. Pamela.
Good morning. Today we'll be talking about neglected tropical diseases, as Nigeria is in a tropical zone, and we need to know more about some of these infectious diseases. It's a pleasure to have you, Dr. Mathieu and Dr. Aisha, on the program. Thank you for coming.
Good morning.
Now, Dr. Mathieu, if we can start with you, can you tell us what is a tropical disease and which ones are the neglected ones?
When you talk of neglected tropical diseases, there are different groups of diseases that happen mainly in the tropics. Some are caused by bacteria, while some are caused by parasites. And so basically, why we call them neglected is because much attention has not been paid onto them. Then the fact that it tends to run because the same condition exists over and over again. And some of the neglected tropical diseases for the parasites one include the filariasis, schistosomiasis, liver blindness, guinea worm. And then the bacteria one include leprosy, borrelia ulcer, as well as trachoma. That is a major cause of blindness, even in Nigeria as of today. And WHO has told us that the burden for Nigeria is so great that at every given time, 80% of Nigerians will be on one medication or the other at any given time. Then recently, NOMA was also added, and I'm sure Dr. Akin will be able to speak more concerning NOMA.
Okay, so let's just go into those, some of those conditions you spoke about. You know, you mentioned filariasis, you mentioned onchocerciasis, and rare blindness and all that. So can you tell us what they are and why are they neglected? Because I mean, these are things that we've heard about, even from a medical school. Why are they neglected? Why haven't we eradicated them?
Well, you see, the approach to eradication of some diseases is not only medication. You have to look at the prevailing situation in that environment. These diseases are more prone to happen in places where we have poor access to facilities, where it is hard to reach area, people living there of low socioeconomic status, and then issue of healthcare, adequate, timely diagnosis and intervention. Then because it is not of major economic importance to advanced worlds.
Can you just describe some of them so people know what we're talking about?
Yeah. For example, now, there's river blindness. What we call onchocerciasis is river blindness and tends to occur in areas, in farming areas where we have large flowing rivers. And because we have high population of people there.
Like where?
For example, in the southwest part of Nigeria, we have river blindness, leading to river blindness because of the vector black fly that we can easily transmit the organism. Then there's also elephantiasis. Those are the ones that will lead to unilateral or in which one limb will be so swollen that later may lead to disfigurement. And that one is also predominant even in Nigeria, as well in the southwest. And we have some even up to the middle belt. In the northern part, occasionally we have, but not as much as we have in the southern part of Nigeria. But in the northern part, we have trachoma, which is caused by chlamydia, a bacteria.
What is trachoma?
Trachoma is caused by chlamydia trachomatis, but it leads to blindness. Because initially, once it first starts, it will just be a little ulcer on the conjunctiva. But with increased itching and scratching, there will be scratching of a scarring of the cornea, so the person will be able to see again. So you can even have generations of blind people, the grandfather, father, and the grandson at the same time.
Okay, and then where do you find these conditions?
Trachoma is commoner in the north because we tend to thrive in areas where we have unhygienic conditions. We have high density of house fly that can move from one place to the other. I remember in the north, I served in the north, and I could see occasions in which people will be covered by the eyelids, the eyes will be covered by house flies. The house flies are able to transition from one person to another.
Oh, so it's just a case of not being hygienic, as in brushing off the flies? Is that what you're saying? They just leave the flies?
Not just brushing off the flies, taking care of yourself, I mean, daily bath, washing your hands as regular as often as possible. I mean, taking your bath, making sure you reduce the housefly population around you, all those ones comes into play. So the issue of public sanitation, hygienic environment, all those ones, they are driving factors.
Okay, but I mean, why haven't we addressed them? Why are we neglecting them? Are they neglected in other parts of the world, or is it just here in Nigeria were neglecting them.
And we call them neglected because the resources allocated to them is enough by our own government. Most of than not, you have non-governmental organizations taking it up. I could tell you, one of my U.S. president, Jimmy Carter, was one that took up that of eradication of Guinea worm as his own corporate social responsibility, because the amount allocated, well, it's not, should not only be for medication, also for prevention, provision of adequate water, good roads, access to healthcare. All those are very, very essential.
May I just quickly comment?
Yes,
I think
please.
Additionally, it's important to know that these neglected tropical diseases, they're absent from the global health agenda. That's really what it is, and that's where all the funding is. So it's now that things are turning towards, you know, more awareness. The truth is, with global migration and people moving, displaced communities and things like that, you're finding that these neglected tropical diseases are now being imported. So there is now, in the developed world, they're getting them. So there is now a renewed look at it. So there is little funding, but the funding appropriated to neglected tropical disease has been negligent. But the tide is turning. It's still not enough, but at least there is awareness. And then you have to, you know, since COVID, social media awareness and things like that is actually helping us and bringing it to the fore. But the truth of the matter is, because it's displaced communities, impoverished communities, people that are moving, there are wars everywhere, people are displaced, and they're going along, and these diseases are in the body for a long time, so they're going along to these new places, taking them with them, and that has also caused the awareness.
What we're saying is, these conditions are there, we haven't done that much about them. But I remember them. I mean, trachoma was a huge problem in India in the past. Have they eradicated it? Because they don't seem to have that as a problem anymore. Or is it not much there?
It's still there, but the level is reduced compared to when you look at the body in Nigeria. Because you still have so the rural community in India, they are still poor, impoverished, with poor access to health facility and water. So with that, we see have almost similar condition with Nigeria.
Okay, but I understand that they're still treating theirs more than we are treating ours. So what do you want them going to do? I mean, who's going to deal with this if the NGOs are not really addressing it and our government is not really addressing it? Or do we just continue carrying this burden?
As of now, the NGOs are the one addressing it, much more than even the government. So now is the time for the government to rise up. And with the awareness of NCD days, hopefully, at least there will be better funding from government aspect. I know Dr. Aisha wants to say more concerning that.
Yes, there is a national program for NTD eradication and a map. So, and you know, as it works out for us, the current chairperson or president of the NMA is a dermatologist. So, of course, we're pushing the narrative, you know, from that angle as well. But there is a map, and I can share that with you, you know, for a program for elimination of 13 out of the 20 neglected tropical diseases. So, and then earlier on, you had talked about, you know, flies and things like that. Vector control is very important. Public health. So where these rivers flow, we need public health come in. That's where the public health physicians play a role. Vector control is very, very important to disrupt the transmission, the life cycle as well, so that you reduce the risk of infection.
No, so I think these things are so important that we actually deal with the conditions and face them ourselves. I mean, is there any room, for example, for philanthropic Nigerians to take up some of these conditions and face them and try and see what they can do to deal with them? Must we always wait outsiders to come in and do it for us?
Not at all. There's room for them. There are quite a few. But, you know, that more can be done by well-meaning Nigerians. That's the truth. They can take up any one of them. Because if everybody looks in their state, there'll be one or two that are predominantly found, you know. So increasing awareness. And, you know, what actually has made the burden work in Nigeria is the fact that these diseases are stigmatizing. In the past, you know, and still, they hide, they stay, increase awareness, which try and intervene earlier. So prevention is also, you know, very key, so that people don't get to that disability. It's when they get to that disability, then they're neglected, there's stigmatization. They themselves, even when they're cured, they have disability, you know, so they just stay in a colony. Even when they're cured, they just stay together. So that's stigmatization and awareness are key things too that need to be addressed.
Thank you very much.
You're listening to Doctors on Air with Dr. Pamela.
Oh, sorry, so we've mentioned leprosy, we've mentioned NOMA. And I think in the break you did mention something about the World Leprosy Day. Can you tell us, is leprosy a neglected tropical disease officially? Or is it just here in Nigeria it's neglected?
Oh, no.
It's on the list.
Nigeria is one of the countries, together with about 10 other countries, India, Afghanistan, Iran, and some others that are, you know, still recording more than 1,000 leprosy cases in a year. Recently, the statistics for leprosy showed that 8.3% of those affected were children less than 15 years, which shows that there's new infections. So that is key. But I think what we want to say is that leprosy is caused by a bacteria. You can't transmit it from one person to another. Now, if quickly picked up and diagnosed early, people can get cured, and we want to prevent
that. Just antibiotics.
Yes, just antibiotics for a long time. But it has to be picked up. So it's recognizing, you know, that skin lesion, that light, you know, coppery, hypopigmented light spots, you know, on the body by the GPs, by the nurses, by the chews. So once you have these spots that, you know, are not going away, it behoves someone to think about it. So we are actually educating more the healthcare workers, the GPs in particular, about recognizing that hypochromic, you know, light spot, which could be anesthetic as well. Think of leprosy.
I think you need to explain that in a bit more sort of lay terms. Hypopigmented spot, which is anesthetic as well. I'm not sure our listeners really understand what we're talking about here. And I think, you know, people are in the community. We have grandmothers, we have mothers, you know. They also need to know how to identify some of these things and seek help.
Okay, so a light spot on the skin, the exposed parts, the chest, the back, the face, the arms, which sometimes people will feel that they may not sweat in that area and they may not feel sensation. But more importantly, it's the fact that you've treated Ila, you've treated Lakba, you've treated all sorts of things for those spots. So it is for the healthcare workers to think that, look, could this be leprosy? That's the most, and then test, examine fully, and then refer. So I think it's the awareness that, you know, when you have these light spots on your body that don't go away, that have been there for a long time, see a dermatologist, refer.
Now, leprosy is a biblical condition. It has been with us since the beginning of time. Why hasn't it been treated? I mean, if it's curable, you use the word curable, with treatment, with drugs, why is it still with us?
So I think it still boils down to awareness, okay? And then what I mentioned earlier in terms of stigmatization, the lepers tend to stay together. We have leper colonies that still exist. And then there's also still increased transmission. Then there's a lot of movement of the IDPs, movement because of conflict, because of wars. So, you know, you might have received a little bit of treatment or not adequate anyway, had not been diagnosed. And then you come down here, as Dr. Mathieu had earlier mentioned, no access to healthcare. So there are people roaming the streets. They're sleeping under all sorts of conditions. They don't have access to healthcare. So it's not going to get diagnosed as well. So it spreads in the community. There's a lot of overcrowding in all these camps, and the spread will continue.
Theo, what is your department and so on doing about something like this? Is there anything specific?
For now, it has to be with the dermatologist. Luckily, the dermatologists have already started training the tools, the people at the primary health care facility, so that they're able to, recognize early. The aspect of diagnosis, with leprosy, it's easier to diagnose. From any of the wound or lesions, we can easily do with ordinary staining. And looking at it under the microscope, we can easily make the diagnosis. So we don't need maybe high-tech equipment for us to make the diagnosis. So the diagnostic capability is available, but the only thing we need to do now is to cascade it down to the general hospitals as well as the primary care facility so that people will be able to diagnose it once they are referred from the clinics.
What is NOMA and why should we need to know about it?
NOMA is a Greek word used to describe the spread of fire, basically an infection of the mouth, what we call a gangrenous stomatitis. Gangrenous in the sense that it will lead to decay it starts gradually as an acute lesion where you have a wound and gradually start spreading, involving the gums, and then it may even involve the palate and it may lead to disfigurement of even the face. So it's like a spread of fire. If you don't arrest it early, it continues to spread until the whole face is destroyed. Unfortunately, it tends to affect the younger generation.
It was a Nigerian dermatologist that discovered it. Am I correct? Pushing things too far. But it was the dermatologist too who wrote it up, and recently.
For it to be added as one of the NTDs. No, it was only last year it was added as one of the NTDs. Before, people with normal tend to hide, parents used to hide their children because the children would be ages 2 to 6 and then with this disfigured face and everything. So they tend to hide them. And to encourage all those people with those challenges to come out, that was why normal had to be added to the list of the neglected tropical diseases. And bearing in mind that the age group affected is younger generation, pediatric age group, and the disfigurement is going to be for life if intervention does not come very early.
I think what you were referring to was the fact that it was a dermatologist group that, you know, mm-hmm. advocated for NOMAD to be included in the NTDs.
Now that these things are taking place, so what are we saying? Are these things taking place, what he's described, in places like Lagos, or is it outside in very rural areas? Because when you talk about the face being eaten up, you know, I don't know how many people would be looking at their child while their face is being eaten up. Is it taking place in the cities or in the villages?
For example, I know it's all over Nigeria. It's not only in the cities, even in the rural communities. Even in Lagos, sometimes when we look at Lagos, we tend to look at the well-developed part of Lagos. We tend to forget the urban slums that we have all over. So in the urban slums, we have cases like that there that do not even have access to healthcare. So readily in Lagos, in Southwest, and even up to the north, we have a normal children hospital that is being manned by Medicine San Frontier. Those are the ones taking care of the children that have this condition in the north.
It's all over Nigeria. I mean, this thing, it sounds so terrible and actually sounds also so terrifying to see this happening. Now, but is this a condition, this normal condition? Is it treatable? Is it curable? Is it also an infection? Or is it something that just has to be managed?
It is an infection at the initial stage. There are 5 stages. When we talk of the acute stage, that is when you can easily use your antibiotic and stop it. But by the time it's now become gangrenous, we have destruction of tissues. Then later, there's swelling, and then it's spread all over the face. What you can do, apart from using antibiotics, now the role of surgeon, plastic surgeon, we have to come in. And the most important is for us to make sure there's public awareness so that we are able to intervene at the early stage when they are still treatable, when we don't have much of tissue damages.
Dr. Aisha, anything to add?
So in those acute stages, is penicillin, sulfonamides, you know, other antibiotics play a key role. And really and truly, if they intervene at that point, then the disfiguration that will eventually occur is prevented. And it's these children, 2 to 6 years, there's also malnourished, they're impoverished, you know, and access to healthcare. So the key thing is increased awareness. So anything in the mouth, any sores, ulcers, should be treated.
Ulcers are wounds.
Yes, ulcers are wounds, yes, in the mouth.
Any kind of wound in the mouth, around the mouth.
Yes.
Needs to be taken very, very seriously.
Even at the healthcare level, primary healthcare, the mothers, you know, even when they're giving in these areas, you know, where it is found, where they're given antenatal care and things like that, you know, just increasing the awareness, letting them know so that when it does come up, they can intervene.
Now, this condition sounds like quite a distressing condition. So how long has it actually been around for that it has just been added to the list of neglected tropical diseases?
It's been around over centuries. I remember seeing, you know, when I was a young child, someone, a beggar, a long time ago, with that hole in the mouth. And that's why it's called Kankrum porus. So mm-hmm. I can never forget it because I saw one, you know, with the hole in the mouth and you could mm-hmm. see the teeth. And then it wasn't until I became a medical student that, you know, that I learned about it. But it's been around for ages.
What are your words of advice, for example, to the government, to the NGOs? Is this something that we can tackle? I mean, when we're talking about these neglected tropical diseases, I must say you all haven't really given us much hope that they're not going to be neglected anymore. We're looking for hope, but we're looking for somebody to inspire us to say, no, these things are going to be taken care of.
There is hope. There is. Mm-hmm. And like I said, there is a management plan for NTDs for Nigeria, a national program. Even with the NCDC, the Nigerian Medical Association, there is a program and a mapping for this. So what we want is intensified case management just so that you can, you know, treat them better, control of the disease, the various vectors, increase awareness amongst the communities, but more importantly, among the primary healthcare providers, which would include the CHUs, the people at the healthcare centers, the GPs, and then, more importantly, involve the public health physicians so that as we're treating the disease, case management is going on, prevention is going on alongside. That's the only way. Public health measures just have to be instituted. And I must say that, you know, there has been a lot of awareness and Nigeria has taken it on, really. I mean, Dr. Mathieu can testify to this. So I think it's just intensifying it, putting resources to that area. And we can always, like you said, it's never too much to call on well-meaning individuals who want to be philanthropists in a particular area. They can take on any of the diseases and we would always be willing to, you know, have them support the government or their state governments in this area.
In addition, I think at the primary healthcare level, there should be active case search. For those who are hiding their cases, we are able to see them and then intervene early as possible. Though I know there are some cases that normally we only do active case search for. We should include normal, all these neglected tropical diseases in the active case search. So at the end of the day, we'll be able to identify early and then be able to intervene as soon as possible. Then improve hygiene is one thing we still have to tackle in Nigeria. Good water supply. And without potable water, the essence of going to the river, using whatever available source of the water is going to be a major problem. So we still need to tackle the issue of providing water for people in the rural communities.
Oh, that's actually shouldn't be, but it is a big ask. And I think for this, the more we call for things like this, you know, we have a new government now. We need to start telling them these are some of the things that we want. These are some of the things that we need as a nation, you know, and so that some of these things can be provided for us. I think it's time now to really call out the government to place these neglected tropical diseases firmly, you know, on the front burner. And let's see how they can be tackled. You didn't mention things like Lassa fever. Why?
Well, it's not on the neglected tropical disease. There are programs for eradication of Lassa fever. Or I always say that in a way we'll be complacent in Nigeria because initially Lassa used to be in just two or three states in Nigeria. But along the way, it has become almost endemic in Nigeria because when we're supposed to have intervened early and just curtailed them within. So we still need to do more. But I won't say it's neglected because there's funding continuously. There's awareness every year concerning Lassa fever because of resurgence almost every time. So people are really aware. Then because of the acute mortality that you tend to have from Lassa fever, unlike the neglected tropical disease that people may live with it for several years before you now have the mortality. It's mainly disfigurement, loss of self-esteem and the rest, but the issue of mortality is much more reduced when it comes to neglected tropical diseases compared to Lassa.
Okay, no, I think these things are important. How about things like monkeypox, which we spoke about some times ago?
Monkeypox recently is just sort of on a little bit of a low, mm-hmm. you know, a decline, but it's still there. They're still training.
Is it on the list?
No, it's not. It's a viral illness, just like the Lassa fever is a viral hemorrhagic fever. So they come in another, and like Dr. Tu had said, those are acute, devastating. The mortality is high. Of course, apart from the person presenting, then doctors, you know, there's a lot of mortality of the healthcare workers because they don't know. But we've done a lot of work, the NCDC, IRUA, all the places where, you know, you find this. There's a lot of education going on.
I think that, you know, really, we've covered it very, very superficially. But are there any other conditions you wanted to just bring up so that we can be aware of them as we, I don't want to use the word celebrate, but recognize the World Leprosy Day?
I think the main ones that are sort of out there, what we're increasing awareness about NOMA, leprosy is still there. But like Dr. Mathieu said, the parasite, the ones that have parasites, schistosomiasis, onchocerciasis, trachoma, filariasis as well, you know, those ones really are truly, you know, because it's not nice when you see someone coming with elephantiasis, you know. So in those areas too, the riverine areas, that's where a lot of education and awareness and breaking of that life cycle.
Dr. Mateo, so do you have any last words for our listeners?
The only advice I'll tell our listeners is that they need more care when it comes to their health. If you see anything that's abnormal, there's nothing wrong going to the health facility or seeking for opinion instead of just hoping that, oh, this one will go with time. It's just the normal skin rash or skin spots that it will go, maybe because of the heat condition and the rest. Always seek for medical intervention. Then secondly, let us improve our level of hygiene. Once we improve our level of hygiene, hand washing, taking a regular bath, making sure we do vector control, controlling brainy spots around our environment, all those ones, we'll be able to overcome.
Thank you very much, Dr. Aisha. Any last words?
Well, just to say that the skin is the window to the body. So whatever skin problem you have, it's not going away. Seek the help of a dermatologist. Ask your doctor, where can I find one? There are dermatologists in every state. And, you know, both in the federal institutions and the state institutions, seek one. We're not that many anyway. We're not like, I mean, but there are, and they're growing. So when you have a skin problem, it's not going away. Seek help.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Doctors on Air with Dr. Pamela.